Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated. Visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with the big story of the day.
Wide right. That's it. You missed Demaryius Thomas on an open pass. You beat the Chiefs. There have been some small moments this year that could easily result in the Broncos being 5-4 and 6-3. And you could look at it the other way, too. You could say, well, you had to come from behind against the Seahawks and come from behind against the Raiders. Yeah, I suppose. But when you have those moments near the end of the game, it is soul-crushing to miss out on them. It's one thing if you miss something midway through the game or halfway through the fourth quarter. But when there are moments, Al, like, this is it. You know, no matter what has happened, like, this is it. Those are tough. And you wouldn't even be in that position yesterday if the Texans kicker didn't miss the extra point, one point along the line. The defense, my goodness. You gave up 3 points in the second half. You were all over the place. We know that Houston offensive line is not all that good, and you made them pay for that. Let's try a different offensive strategy. You know, it's not guns blazing, but it's not turning the ball over. Using your tight ends more, you're more of dink and dunk, but hey, you're not losing the ball. You're not making mistakes. That was one of the better games I've seen Case Keenum play the entire year.
Best game of his Denver Broncos career, by far.
You can win games like that.
You can win a lot of games when the quarterback plays that well.
In fact, not only can you win games,
You should
have won that game
yesterday.
That's right.
And how about Sue Cravens, man? I got to tell you, man, his input in the game was not small. The run defense was excellent. He got called on one holding that was questionable at best. But overall, his impact on the team could be felt just by just watching him play and his energy and his excitement, his ability to be a physical player, man.
Let me give some props to
different guy. Nice looking guy.
Emmanuel Sanders. When he took that shot to the head, and I think that was just a football play. I don't think it was dirty. I don't think it had any... I mean, they got a penalty for it.
I know, and Emmanuel dropped his head to go down. I mean, I don't know who you call that on. Do you call it on the offense? You call it on the defense?
You know what I call that? I call that football.
He likes talking about Emmanuel.
Yeah. But I tell you what, my heart sunk a little bit because that looked scary.
It did look scary.
You know, and I don't wish ill on anybody. I don't want to see guys hurt. And a hit like that, and he got up and played. And the catch he made on fourth down and the throw Case Keenum made on fourth and eight, that game should have been over right there. That was Keenum's going down, tons of pressure, catching a ball over the middle when it has to be caught. And I know Sanders dropped one a little bit earlier in that drive that, you know, hurt a little bit. But, dude, I don't know, man. To me, it looks like we got some warriors out there. I know it sucks to lose. And so I wake up today and everybody's screaming out VJ being fired. And it's like the most ridiculous conversation to have. I mean, first of all, it doesn't make it literally makes no sense on like any level. It makes no sense in terms of the future, because if he really is that bad as a coach, I guess, then that's what you want. I talked about it. I'm like, tank for Tua 2020. I mean, I still think that's the best play. But no matter what, you're going to have to build yourself back up one way or the other. I wasn't for Bradley Chubb, not because I was against Bradley Chubb personally. I thought they needed a quarterback. Bradley Chubb, Al, is obviously going to be a great player in this league for many, many years. How great will he be? I don't know. The Broncos made a decision just to go in a different direction, and it's probably unfair to compare Bradley Chubb or any of the quarterbacks to Bradley Chubb. He's his own individual person. It's his own. He doesn't play the same position. It was management that decided to do that, not Bradley Chubb. I don't wish anything but good things for Bradley Chubb, and I'm happy for his success, and I think he's going to get more and more of it. And the combination with Bradley and Vaughn is terrific, but the fact of the matter is, you're going to rebuild. You're going to need capital at some point. Vance he is getting things. It's just taking time. And it's very, very frustrating to go through these growing pains with a coach. But I haven't seen him make the same mistakes again. I see different mistakes, ones that surprise me. The kicking the field goal with 23 seconds on the clock, or what, 28, whatever it was. I mean, that is like football 101, don't do. I appreciate being aggressive, Al, and going for points. I mean, I like that. But the risk is just absurdly too high if you miss it, because you can certainly, if you're the other team, drive the ball, what, 15 yards to put yourself in field goal position because of where you get the ball back? That's a kick that has to happen now with less than 10 seconds to go. I think everybody can more or less agree with that, including VJ today, who said that it was a mistake, and that was on him. His decision at the end, you know, statistically, Al, McManus is much more consistent by about 20 percentage points from about 7 yards closer than he is beyond 50. But we've seen Brandon McManus literally make that kick over the years 10,000 times. Casey Kreider, not a great snap, but Colby Wideman, Al, got the ball down. He did a really good job getting a, not a great snap, that ball down. McManus missed that 51-yarder the same way he missed the 62-yarder. No different. He was off for whatever reason. And he is a great, great kicker. He's one of the greatest special teams player in the history of the Broncos. Super Bowl champion. Perfect in the postseason. I mean, he's been amazing. And he just had, something was in his head, I can't explain it. But the coaching staff of the Broncos literally did everything they could to put that team in a position to win that game. And what else do you want?
Well, with 30 seconds left to go, what was it, like 30 seconds left to go in the game, why we didn't continue to push the ball down the field made no sense to me. And I know that there is an opportunity to take a sack. There's opportunities to throw an interception. And today, if we would have went out there in that same situation and thrown an interception, everybody would have been like, why didn't you just kneel on it there and let your Pro Bowl type player just go ahead and make the field goal?
Well, can you imagine if Max Garcia, who had a rough day yesterday, got flagged for movement or something like that?
Holding.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine if Garrett Bowles got called for a holding call? I feel VJ on this one. I didn't love the call to Lindsay. I didn't love it because if you really were just going to, I mean, I know what he was saying. Hey, we could get a 5-6 yard burst, but that's inherently risky too. It may have been just a good idea to, if you really felt like, hey, this is good for McManus, take a knee, let the time run down, call a timeout, and go for the game. I mean, essentially that's what happened, right? Essentially that's what happened. But that kick wasn't a little off, Al. That kick didn't just wind itself around the goalpost. You've hit fades like that in golf, I'm sure, right?
When you hit unfortunately, yes.
Well, did you mean to hit that fade or did you not mean to hit that fade? That's what it was. It was a fade.
Right. And
it was always fading. It didn't hook. It faded.
And one of the things that, you know, that I didn't know before the snap of the ball is how many timeouts did the Texans have? See, that's what I don't know.
I think they had at least one.
If they had a couple, then he may have been thinking, you know, they were going to ice him.
Yeah. That bit him in the butt too, didn't it, at the end? I mean, you can't win in that.
Listen, dude, I'm just saying, like, I mean, I was sitting there thinking, well, they're going to ice him. And
into the second half, right?
Yeah, at the end of the game.
At the end of the game, both the Broncos and the Texans called their final timeout with 3 seconds left.
Okay.
So there you go. I thought that they were going to ice him.
By the way, I would, if I'm a head coach.
So they did ice him, basically.
If I'm a head coach, I would demand my analytics department give me the percentages of success on icing kickers. I need to know that data, and I need to know from what distance it is. So you can go in the back room and get on those computers and figure that out. But here's what I can't take. I am frustrated with VJ a little bit. The whole, like, coaching from your gut stuff and, like, just what I feel and how I – that is not a way to manage the end of an NFL game. You have reams of data to figure out how to do things. You have an analytics person, Mitch Tanney, who's supposed to be in charge of that stuff. You have a million other coaches. You can do reps yourself. You can have coaching meetings and go through these things. You should have a book. Al, there's only a finite amount of possibilities in game situations in the NFL, right? I mean, you know, we're talking end of the game situations. And it just feels too often to me that things are just like on a whim. Like, for example, your point, like I would have liked to have seen the Broncos push the ball down the field a little bit more, right? Well, I would, if
I was a coach, I would have got that ball. You know, if I would have saw a single high, I would have tried Cortland Sutton or Emmanuel Sanders in a situation where it's a jump ball.
Wow. Well, that seems absurdly risky.
Why?
Because that means you have to drop back to pass. You could have a holding call. You've got to get some time.
Yeah, but guess what they did? They did exactly what I thought they would do. They crowded the line and tried to prevent the Broncos from running the football.
Why not just a simple out to Emmanuel or Hyerman, who was on fire in that game?
Why not go for a long ball?
Because for the reasons I just said, you risk a holding call or perhaps an interception or a sack.
It could have been a fade.
Whatever.
Back shoulder throw to Corlin Sutton is as good as an out.
But like, for example, why would you need to if Brandon McManus is 73% from field goals from 40 to 44 yards?
I don't know
yards.
All that. I'm saying get them in.
No,
like 20.
I want all
I'm
that,
saying
though.
20. I'm
I want
see,
all
like,
that,
there
though.
There are stats out there right now for where every kicker is accurate from.
Right. So, and I'm sure he's
I'm
closer
sure
to better.
Yeah, no doubt.
Right, but like,
so I'm saying, let's get him close. Let's get him close. Let's get him down. Let's get him down to the 10, 15 yard line.
I think he really only needed like 7 more yards.
I don't care what you think. I'm saying a play from 20 yards is a play much better than a play from 50 yards.
You're a gut guy, right?
No, I'm not. I am I'm a percentage guy. So I'm telling you, if I know the defensive coordinator is going to bring smoke, I'm
all
throwing
right.
it up.
Right, that
I'm throwing it up because I have a guy who's a 50-50 jump ball guy expert. He is an expert. Cortland Sutton is as good of a 50-50 guy that I've ever seen in a Denver Broncos uniform.
I'll give you this. You certainly had time to do it.
Oh, my goodness.
You had plenty of time to get a shot.
40-something seconds, I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Press the ball down the field. Let's get them in closer. But you know, maybe.
So wait,
just...
are you mad with the coaches or not?
Oh yeah, I didn't like the way that the game ended because I thought they should have put more pressure on the Houston Texans to do the unthinkable, and they did it anyway. They brought pressure at the end of the game to try to stop a run to get them closer, and it which left the cornerbacks wide open. Don't throw at Kareem Jackson. That dude had a hell of a game.
Mm.
25, the one that kept getting delivering the big hits.
Killed Philip Lindsay. Oh my
Listen,
God.
Man, that guy had a great game. Leave that guy alone. 43, you had him all day.
I just want some reasoning why you do things and why you don't do things. That's all. The whole gut stuff to me is I lose it. I want some numbers on why you're doing things.
I don't think there's any coach out there who explains to you why they do anything. You know,
Really?
No, I wouldn't.
There are coaches that do that.
No,
that's
I
for
tell
sure.
You what? I know who?
Baseball coaches.
Oh well, talk about your baseball coaches then, because football coaches ain't gonna give you a reason behind.
Yeah, I know
why they're doing
it. I know it's frustrating as hell. It drives me nuts. But all that being said, it's a 51-yard field goal at altitude, at home, in good weather. It's a kick McManus
normally makes.
Yeah. We should be talking about a win here today. Instead, where everybody wants to fire Vance Joseph. Everybody makes a big deal about Bill O'Brien calling Vance a dummy. And, God, is that Bill O'Brien dude? Oof.
They love him in Houston. That's all that counts.
I guess so, man.
That's all that counts.
No class. Like a teacher in the summer. No class.
So when did he say? When did he call him dummy after the kick was missed?
Yeah, in the first half.
I don't think it was meant for the camera.
You're no kidding. There's a lot of things that aren't meant for the camera, Alfred. That makes news. Joining us with the state of the NFL, and this is exciting, to promote his book tour, which is coming to the Tattered Cupboard in Littleton, Tomorrow at 7, it's Adam Schefter promoting the book, The Man I Never Met. Alfred, I read the book in one sitting. We talked all about that. Alfred, how are you doing on...
I am doing so good on it. I saw the book yesterday, so that's a lot. That's a big improvement.
Our NFL insider, Adam Schefter, is presented by Rox Heating and Air. ROX Heating, Rox Heating and Air. Okay, Adam, I'm not for it. I understand why it didn't happen, but certainly there was a buzz in this town that questioned if Vance Joseph would still have his job today. What are you hearing?
He's still going to have it. He still has it. He's still going to have it. Again, I think that we all know that this team has to play well and turn it around, I think, for him to keep it after this season. But this is a team that really is not looking to make an in-season change. That doesn't mean that he can't come at Thanksgiving, December, whenever, right? But it's not something they're looking to do. It's not something they want to do. They're not going to make a change this week. They're not going to make a change next week. So we'll see how that works. But right now, Vance remains the head coach.
You know, this city is used to winning, Adam. Right now, I was talking to Dan Graham today. We were talking about the team and the opponents that we have played. And I was like, you know what, man? Knowing those three teams that we played were going to be in the position that they were going to be in, there's no way realistically you can look at three of those losses and say we should have beat those teams, because those are three games that don't look winnable when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs and the Rams. Two against the Kansas City Chiefs and the Rams. The game against the Jets, man, that one really broke my heart. I thought that's the one that could have changed the entire season. But what do you say about those tough teams that you see on the schedule? And I know as prognosticators, we think that they're going to lose or we think that they're going to win. But when you really see those great teams and you see how they're playing, do you say that you still are supposed to beat those teams even though they're playing great?
Well, I think you want to see something, right? You want to see, like, that the team is competitive, improving, has a chance. And, a couple of those games when there was more talk about Vance than there was today, or has been more talk about Vance than there should be today. I mean, listen, you're getting blown out by the Jets where they're setting rushing records in 2 weeks in a row. You have teams run for 600 yards against you. That, we've never seen that. Right? It's just so rare. We're also at the point here where, the Denver Broncos, and it's pretty amazing, they have not had back-to-back losing seasons in 46 years.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So it's new for everybody in Denver for this team to be struggling at 3-6, heading into a bye week, coming off the losing year it had last year. These are unusual circumstances and unusual times that, what's going on in Denver the last 2 years is a typical season for Cleveland or Jacksonville or Arizona or many of the places in the NFL landscape. That doesn't make it right or anything. It just, this is a little bit of a jolt of reality. And I think that, there are ugly losses and ugly 3-6s, and there are competitive 3-6s. And, they play well yesterday. They played well enough to win the game. They didn't do it. Some of the games are more disappointing than others. I don't know. There's no way to dress up 3-6. They're 3-6.
3-6 is 3-6. It's just that, man, I tell you, boy, when you're playing against teams that look to be in the Super Bowl,
yep,
we're just not there yet. We're just not there. But the record is the record. What has to happen in the second half for Vance Joseph to keep the job?
The record's got to be flipped around. I mean, I don't know what that is. I can't give you a number that they have to get to. You got to watch the team and feel like, boy, this team's getting better. Boy, this team's improving. Boy, this team's competitive. Boy, this team's intriguing. And I think those are the kinds of things you haven't always felt this season. So if that shows up more, that bodes well for him. If it doesn't, that does not bode well for him. I mean, how do you define charisma? It's a hard thing to do.
Right.
How do you define fireable? I mean, you know it when you see it.
All right. Well, Adam, it didn't happen.
Right.
Yeah, no. There's another famous thing to compare it. Like, you know it when you see it, but you used charisma, not, well, pornography, which I think was much more appropriate on your part. So, good for you. Adam.
I'm glad that your mind drifted to pornography, D-Mac. Yeah, I'll let you do that, not mine, okay? I'm trying to get focused for Monday Night Countdown.
You know it when you see it, Adam. What can I say? Like, just what you said. Okay, so if it doesn't happen... if it didn't happen today, it probably doesn't happen until the end of the season?
I can't say that. I don't know. They don't know.
Okay.
I'm just telling
you. So I see what you're saying. Like, if things just go poorly, who knows, right? Like, you know, but he's been given the week, the bye week, and we'll go from there. By the way,
it's not even like he's been given that. It's that look, they want to see him do well. They want to see him succeed. They want to see the team do well. And if they do, great. But if they don't, at some point later in the season, whether that's week 12, 14, mm-hmm. 16, someone's going to pay the price for it. That's all. I don't know who, when, what, where.
Right.
But I'm just telling you, when teams have losing seasons, people lose jobs. That's what happens. Right? And it's terrible. It's the worst part of the business.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's so unusual in our city that it's been 46 years since they had back-to-back losing seasons. And we've seen people who lose jobs in Denver over certain seasons. But to go back-to-back, which is something Colorado's not used to seeing, you know something will happen if it goes that way. It's just a question of who, what, where, and when.
How's John taking all this?
Well, he's a competitive. He doesn't enjoy this. It's hard on everybody in the organization, not just John. Every coach, every front office guy. You know, I'm sure the players too,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, that's losing seasons are hard. They're just hard, and they're long,
mm-hmm.
and they're tough, and they're unpleasant. You know, football, Alvin, right? Like it's hard enough to get through the season as it is, right? Like even when you were going to the Super Bowls and back-to-back years, it's fun and it's glorious. But it's physically draining and demanding. So when you're not winning, you play enough seasons in Cincinnati, right? What's it like?
Miserable. It really is miserable. You know, as soon as you're eliminated from the postseason, it feels like everybody's playing for numbers. So that you can't build a team concept after that. And then you just don't know where guys' mindset is. I mean, today we see Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie quit football. Because the Raiders are sitting at 1-7 and don't look like they want to win. So he doesn't want to be around that. And I didn't certainly want to be around that. Nobody wants to be around it.
Yeah, how about I'm drawing a blank on his name. I can't believe this. But Vontae Davis, the guy that just up and walked out on the
at halftime. Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, it's a hard game. It's a hard enough game when everything's going your way.
Right.
But when it's not. And you're 1-7 or you're 3-6, man, that's dreary.
What's the right way to approach you asking for an autograph when you're at your book signing, The Man I Never Met? Were we allowed to look in your eyes? Is it Mr. Schefter? Is it Adam? I mean, what is the code there?
Please refer to me as the man that learned everything that I possibly knew under Alfred Williams.
There you go.
And then it's not, no, listen, honestly, I am very excited to get back to Denver. I don't get to do it nearly as much as I'd like to. If work time were not an issue, I'd be there more often than I am. I love the place. It's in my soul. And I'm honestly thrilled and honored to be coming back tomorrow to be able to do the book signing tomorrow night at Tattered Cover in Littleton. It'd be great.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. And go and see Adam. It's at 7 o'clock tomorrow. And we appreciate it, Adam, for just being our friend.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys being my friend. Hang in there. We'll have many more dreary Mondays.
Thanks, Adam. Buddy. All right, Adam Schefter.
The definition of pornography. I can't give you a definition, but I know it when I see it.
Thank you, Zach. Bye. We'll come back with the big three next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank.
The Big Three is presented by Sam's Number Three Bar and Diner.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three.
Number one, John Elway says he's happy to see the team compete. Al, do you take any solace that these games are close and competitive?
Considering where we were last year with a record number of 10-point losses, yes, I am very excited about the way that this team is playing. The optics don't look good when you just simply compare records. But when you look at the effort that's on the field and the excitement that it gives you every week, I think that you can say that this is a much better product than it was last year. Do you disagree with that?
It's better, and I would urge patience in this rebuilding process. We'll talk about it deeper coming up. Bongos.
Three!
I want to ask you, would you have tried the long field goal at the end of the game if you were the head coach?
Halftime or the end of the game?
Halftime.
Not with that much time. With less than 10 seconds, I would have.
Okay. So you're saying there's no time except for a Hail Mary or a long kick from their side?
That's right. They would have to make a 70-yard kick or a 60-yard kick or throw a Hail Mary with 2 seconds to go. They would only have time for one play. Because we gave them the ball with so much time, they had time for multiple plays, and they pulled it off. It just
wasn't. Would you have preferred to see a Hail Mary there?
No, I would have just punted the ball. Just the Broncos punted. Got the ball back in the fourth quarter.
28-28.
And the second, the Broncos get the ball.
28 seconds, right.
Yeah, the Broncos are going to get the ball. You're going to punt it to the 15-yard line. They're going to take a knee. You're going to get the ball back. I mean, oh well. And that's what I would have done in that particular situation. It's kind of a football no-brainer.
I wouldn't have kicked it either because of the
fact that it was just too much. You would have taken a shot if there was 8 seconds to go in the half.
Right. But
the ball's in the air for 6 seconds.
I thought, just like everybody else thought, if he misses it, then they have time to run any type of offensive plays that they want.
Multiple plays.
Yeah.
And they did.
And their kicker came through. Now, we called a timeout, and their kicker missed it. And then he had time to come back and nail it.
Yeah, I'm a bigger fan.
It feels like, you know what?
I'm a bigger fan of the fake timeout.
The timeout, there was no timeout. He missed it. On ours, there was no timeout. We missed it. On theirs, we call timeout. He misses it. Then he makes the one that is in regulation.
Bongos.
Three!
What'd you think of Tua on Saturday night as Alabama destroyed LSU?
They have the best team in college football.
What'd you think of Tua?
They have the best team in college football. I thought he was okay.
Just okay.
Yeah. I watched it with some friends, and we were in Scottsdale, Arizona last weekend. And I had three guys that played college football. And I said, give me your evaluation. His release is long, and I wouldn't draft him in the first round.
Woo!
Okay. So I was like, well, okay. I didn't, without me saying anything to him about my opinion, I thought the exact same thing. He threw one ball in there for a touchdown that I thought was really good. Nice, quick motion with the arm. But he does have a long release, but he makes things happen. That's the most important thing about the quarterback position, is making things happen. If he can be more accurate with the football, that team would be simply unbeatable.
Would you rather have Case Keenum or Tua?
Tua. I think he would give more excitement to the fan base.
Bongos.
Three.
All right. Well, I'm sorry about your Buffaloes, by the way.
That was unbelievable.
Sorry, dude.
Unbelievable.
I think you can at least find some joy, though, that Syracuse is rising in the national rankings, because at least we can share in that experience together.
Unbelievable. 5-0. 4 straight losses. And playing against a guy.
But, you know, Syracuse is nationally ranked now for the first time in a long time.
We're playing against a guy that I said that I would love to see in a Bronco uniform. Minshew is coming to town. And the top 10 rated Washington State Cougars, that's going to be a tough one.
You think? They're one of the best teams in the country. As it turns out. This is The Drive on The Fan.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Maybe just start with a couple calls here, see what everybody's on here. Hey, Charlie, what's going on?
Hey, Big Al. How you doing?
I'm super.
Super. Excellent. So, I think your birthday's tomorrow, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. You're what, 38?
I feel more like 23.
Mm. Oh, even
I'm
better.
I'm 52 or 51.
Yep. I just wanted to call in.
Do you care about your age or not? Because I won't mention anything if you care.
I love my age.
Okay.
No. What do you mean? I mean, I've been here in Colorado for 32 years. I got here when I was 18.
Do you want to say how old you're going to be tomorrow or not?
I just told you. I've been here 32 years. I got here when I was 18. I'll be 50.
Add it up, D-Mac.
It's a big number.
Is it?
It's a good number. I think it's a cool number.
I feel good.
I'll be there in a couple months.
I'm more active now than, believe it or not, than when I was 40. I feel great. I feel fantastic.
Yeah. I'm kind of looking forward to 50. I'm kind of thinking 50 is going to be the new 25.
I don't know if it'll be that, but I feel good. I'm not going to lie about that.
Yeah. I love you guys' show.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, Charlie. Yep. I thought there was something else, but that's it. Jordan, you're on the fan. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, how's it going?
Super.
Awesome. So I've got a few coaching predictions. I think what's going to happen, I think DJ is going to get fired before he comes back from the bye week.
And I don't think that's going to happen because it would have happened already.
I think it would have happened today. Although I was reminded that Josh McDaniels was fired later in the day. Like, he had his press conference and everything, and then, like, later in the day,
he was let go. But the bottom line is, who are you going to move the head coach on this staff?
Oh, there's
no idea.
Things you can do.
No idea.
I mean, who?
Well,
I have no idea.
I just don't think
BJ is the guy.
You what?
What?
I just don't think that BJ is the guy.
BJ is the guy. Well, we'll see.
I don't know if Case Keenum's the guy. So if you don't have a quarterback that can get it done and you don't have faith in the head coach, then okay. But I'll tell you, if there was a program out there that I would be saying fire the head coach, it would be the team that had Andrew Luck. Okay, any team that has Andrew Luck shouldn't be sitting there with a losing record this time of year. So we don't have Andrew Luck here. We don't have the first pick, the former first pick in the NFL draft and all pro everything. We have a guy who is a journeyman quarterback who played his best game yesterday. So I don't know what to say to that. You know, I mean, every time we go into a game, it feels like everybody's quarterback is better than ours, except against the Jets. And the Cardinals.
Let me give you two easy interim coaching solutions, because you asked, like, well, what would they do? It's not hard to be an interim coach.
That's what you're going to get out of it is what I'm asking.
Nothing. You're going to – it's.
I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Nothing.
I'm trying to say this to you in the politest way. We don't have other head coaches on the staff right now.
But it doesn't matter. Because
so you just want to – if you want to just move on, you can just move on.
You're right.
But it's not like you know, there is a budding superstar head coach that's on the staff. Unless you see somebody.
No. I just see Gary Kubiak.
Okay.
And, you know, a guy
but
just
then,
to,
I mean, what we're dealing with, what we're dealing with is a coaching staff that is a solid coaching staff. The way that they've played, I mean, they have played better every week on defense since that, you know, since that breakdown against the Rams. And you know what? They were in all of those games except for the Jets. It just feels like we are a play away from being the Denver Broncos. It feels like that we're the Denver Broncos that had Tim Tebow at quarterback. That's what it feels like. That we're going to be 8-8 at the end of this. 7-9.
Oh, we're not going to be 8-8 now.
8-8, 7-9.
We need to win that game yesterday.
7-9, 8-8, 9-7. That's our range. That's our range, and that's going to be our range until we play better at the quarterback position, because I think that Case yesterday actually played his ass off.
I thought he
played great. He gave us a chance, but at the end of the game, you know, if you want to criticize VJ for going for it and believing his kicker from 62 at the end of the half, okay, I get it. I get that, okay? Don't go for it, okay? Don't go for it. Don't believe in him, okay? Don't do that, okay? Now you want to say you want to criticize the end of the game management? We got to be better there. Now there we got to be better. And I don't know if that's a head coaching decision. Is that the offensive coordinator? Is I mean, when they went to the huddle, I was like screaming at the TV. I was screaming at the television. Like, what are you doing? Clock it. Give yourself a good third down play. Well, you know they're going to come. You know they're going to come.
You couldn't clock it.
They could have clocked it. It was second down. It was second down, dude. Hold they on. Threw the ball to Cortland, and then they turn around and hand. They threw the ball on the slant, and then they turn around and hand it off. I'm like, clock it. And if you have to on, you know, if you have an incompletion on third down, then fine. But turn around and hand it off. You're saying
first down and 10, Keenum short pass to Heuerman for 5 yards. Now it's second and 5. You'd want to clock it right there.
Clock it right there.
There's 13 seconds to go.
No, that was 20. It was like 28, 29 seconds.
No, there's.
Yes, it was after the play, after the catch.
After Heuerman's catch?
Yeah, after the catch, man.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Clock it right away. Gotcha. I'm sorry. When they snapped the ball, there was 13 seconds ago. Right. Gotcha. So you completed to Heuerman for 5.
Clock it.
Now it's 3rd and 5.
That's right.
But you've had a chance to huddle. You've had a chance
to
talk about it.
But you still hold the timeout.
And you still have a timeout.
Clock it. Yeah. Go ahead and go for it on 3rd down and 5. Push it down the field. You know,
do something
that, you know, go sprint pass. Do something, you know.
What if you take a sack?
You're not going to take a if you do sprint pass. You're not going to take a sack.
What about a holding call?
You're not going to get a holding call on sprint pass. The things that I'm talking about doing is putting the quarterback on the perimeter with a guy where
it can't miss play.
Yes, because what happens is in that situation. Everybody knows that the Broncos are just trying to get a little close for the kicker. On 3rd down and 5, if you fake the handoff and you just tell the quarterback, get your head around quickly. If it's not there, throw it away. Then you understand, okay, this is what we have to settle for. But we just settled for it because we just settled for it. I didn't like it.
Whose call is that?
I don't know. I would think that, I would think that it's the head coach's call to say when to kick it, when not to kick it.
But the play call. That's got to be Musgrave.
I don't know.
He only has, I mean, who has availability
so
to be in the quarterback's head?
If somebody says to you.
Where is Musgrave? Is he up top or is he on?
He's up top.
That might be a little bit of an issue, right?
No, man. I mean, I love coordinators up top because they can see everything.
So VJ should have been screaming at, because one person has to talk to Case.
He may say, right? The call could have been,
VJ can't
talk
to Case.
Get him to the 38-yard line, and then you get to the 38-yard line, and you say, well, there's too much time, let's run one.
Here's the problem. The Broncos called timeout before that short pass to Heuerman. They had time to diagnose this whole thing during that timeout. They could have easily called two plays. They could have easily said, all right, this play, and then clock it.
They had a timeout left.
That's all I'm saying. No, but they could have called the clock it, sort of. They could have, you know, down the ball.
But they had so many different options with.
But they had a whole timeout to discuss it. That's my point. Like, it didn't.
I mean, we left the game with a timeout. You don't do that.
We used our three timeouts.
We used it. Yeah, we used it at the end of the game, D-Mac. We used it at the end of the game to give the kicker time to get his head right.
Yeah, but the problem is.
At 3 seconds, we used the timeout.
Ultimately. That is on VJ because you did have a timeout before the pass to Heuerman.
I wouldn't have trusted a kicker from 50 yards out. You could have talked to
I don't care, everybody.
But Adam Vinatieri, I wouldn't have trusted him from 50 yards out. On a windy day like that, the wind clearly was screwing with the kickers.
Okay.
I mean, and clearly it was playing games with the kickers.
We've certainly seen Brandon McManus make 50-yarders before.
I know, but there was something about the wind kicking up, dying down.
So who is it on?
I would say the head coach because the head coach is in charge of when to kick it.
I would say Tim. All right, football at 4 is coming up next.